Hi, I'm glad you tuned in to the Mission Delray podcast. I believe you will be blessed by Pastor Carl's message this week. We're a spirit-filled, multicultural church based out of Delray Beach, South Florida. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the mission, Pastor Carl, and our vision, just go ahead and log on to www.themissiondelray.com.
Good. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to preach. I got a little affected during worship. Anybody get affected during worship today? There was a woo. I mean, the Lord always comes and worship at the mission, but today, wow. This is a special day today. You may not know it. I mean, every day is special in the kingdom, but today's a little more special for the mission. And I'm not looking at you because I'm trying to keep it together right here. The Lord is good. Amen. All right, here I go. I'm going to talk a little bit about this more later, but the Lord visited me yesterday. And I had two visitors, actually, the enemy and the Lord. The Lord's visitation was better. I had a little more hope after his visit than I did the other visitation. let me see. You know, pray for a brother. You know, if you ever pray for your pastor in a service, you could be praying for me in this one. I'm going to get into the word in a second, but the Lord began messing with me. He gave me a word yesterday, and I didn't know the timing. So I started calling some elders of mine. I called Pastor David Copeland. I sought the Lord, and I sought what wisdom would say, what prudence would say. Not a lady named Prudence, but, you know, being prudent, you know. And Tracy, I'm going to need you in a second. How many of you know it's best to find out timing from the Lord? Yeah? I mean, you can seek a million counselors, but if Jesus says something different, their counsel was wrong. The whole world could come to agreement on something, but if Jesus says something different, we're going with the something different. Amen? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about here? All right, so I'm going to get into this more detail later. Tracy, I'm really needing you up here, honey. I love what you're doing back there. I appreciate you serving, but I really need you up here. Glory to God. You don't have to run. Wave to my wife. We love you, baby. So, like I said, I'm going to talk. If you're a visitor, I want to welcome you. Normally, I can speak coherently. I'm just affected. You ever been affected by the Holy Ghost? Has God ever touched you and you had a hard time kind of keeping it together after that? Is that ever? Well, that's happening to me, okay? So the Lord visited me yesterday, and, you know, when we started the mission, and I say this over and over again because it's important to understand the vision of the house. When we started the mission, it was not to build a big church. It was to advance the kingdom of God. And you can't advance the kingdom of God without raising up ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe in the priesthood of believers. I believe that every blood-bought saint has a ministry. If you are saved, if you have left your old life, if you are following Jesus, you have a ministry. I believe it because the word says it, and my spirit bears witness that it's true. Amen? And it's our goal at the mission to make sure every person under the sound of my voice who has come under the lordship of Jesus Christ finds out what their call is and fulfills it. Amen? Yet and still, the Bible shows us that some people have been separated for the work of the gospel. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4 shows us that, Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, there are gifts to the church from the Spirit. There are also gifts from Jesus to the church, which are people. You understand that? You can look it up sometime. Ephesians chapter 4, fivefold ministry. So I was in prayer yesterday, and the Lord said to me, he began giving me a vision, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later, and he began showing me, I don't even have how to really articulate it, and I don't really like to share visions and lay out plans unless I've really prayed them through, but the Lord this morning told me, he told me yesterday that In the very quickly at the mission, we're going to begin licensing evangelists. That's the word he said to me. We're going to begin licensing evangelists. And I was like, okay, all right. I don't know what that means exactly, but, you know, we'll do that. And so I began calling people and called my pastor, and he said, you know, put together a board and, you know, test people and this, that, and the other, and come up with criteria and all that. All right. And I, you know, prayed, saw how other people did it. You know, that's good, and that makes sense. I was on the floor this morning. Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he said, yeah, that's going to start today. So I was on the floor, and I heard the sound of worship going up, and I heard the oneness of the Spirit, and I could hear heaven receiving our worship. The Lord said to me, you're gonna lyse Sergio Barbosa this morning as an evangelist. Come up here, Sergio. I want you to be right here. Now you might say, Pastor, that's, isn't that a bit of a rush? Oh, well, I obey Jesus. If you're offended, you know where he lives. Well, let me tell you this. I've been discipling Sergio for years. I know his life. I know his walk. I know his family. I know his revelation. I know his ministry. Just pray in the Holy Ghost, if you would. Sergio Barbosa, I tell you today, I recognize the gift of God that you are to the church. I couldn't be any happier for you if you were my own son up here. You've been like a son to me, and I love you. Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the Lord. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge you, and Sergio, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Sergio, I tell you, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. I need the photographer up here. Y'all want you to get pictures of this. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Sergio Barbosa, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you bear witness to the anointing and call on Sergio Barbosa's life? Stand with me and stretch hands toward him. Camille, come on up here, pray with him for me. I need an usher here, please. Thank you, Jesus. Get good ones. Come on, man. You ain't praying. You're taking pictures. You're working. Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all. Sergio, today I do not set you apart, but the Holy Ghost has set you apart. I recognize the call of God upon your life today. And by the authority Jesus Christ has given me as an overseer of this house, I anoint you in the name of Jesus. Jesus! Can you give a shout to God? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah and hallelujah. You can be seated. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3. If I had time to plan that, it probably would have been better and had certificates and stuff, but the Holy Ghost said now, so we do now. Amen. I love Jesus, don't you? Wow. Okay, give me a second here. All right, Philippians chapter 3. If you're there, let me hear you say yeah. All right, that's on page 981 if you got the right Bible. Philippians 3, chapter 13. Excuse me, chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? We're in our forefather series. And you know, the church isn't always neat and pretty. You know that? Not everybody God has ever used was perfect. Can you believe that? You know how I know that? He's used me. People come to me and they say, Pastor, can you believe he fell? Can you believe he sinned? Can you believe? I'm like, oh yeah, I can believe it just fine. Because I have sinned. I have fallen. I have had issues. It's easy for me to see God using flawed vessels because every time I listen to the Mission podcast, I hear him using a flawed vessel. Y'all got that? Every time I see him using you, I see him using a flawed vessel. The church is funny. You know, I just love him for his mercy and grace. I thank him so much that he's long-suffering with us. I thank him so much that, you know, the little things that I trip up on in the week, he doesn't say, I'm not coming to your church this weekend. Aren't you glad that you stumble and you say, Lord, will you forgive me? He forgives you and then he speaks to you again. Aren't you happy about that? But it's funny when we're talking about someone else's sin, how difficult it is for us to use the same grace and mercy. How did God use him? How was God? I don't understand how God was still moving in his meetings. I don't understand how God was still blessing him. I say the same way he's blessing you. Y'all get where I'm coming from? Or y'all too holy? Y'all never mess up. Is it just me? Am I the only one who's messed up since he got saved? Am I the only one? Am I the only flawed vessel in the house today? Is it possible God has used some people who are flawed? So we've looked at different revivalists in the history in our forefather series. And if we look back through our family tree spiritually, we see some people with some issues. We talked about Charles Finney. Charles Finney was the greatest revivalist who's ever lived in America. The man was an anti-Semite. These guys had issues. He's a bit of a racist. God used him mightily, though. We look at William Seymour, and the guy had some control issues in the end. He was a really bad manager. The guy had some doctrinal error. I mean, there was things going on, but God used him mightily. So we're not looking for perfect vessels. We're looking for a perfect God who uses vessels. Amen? I want to see how God used other people so I can see how he works so I can get in line with what he's doing. That's the goal. So this week I was going to talk about someone, and the Lord visited me again, and he began to lead me in another direction. He said, you know, this Sunday I want you to talk about this guy, Lonnie Frisbee. I said, are you sure, Lord? Are you confused? Don't put up pictures yet. Are you sure, Lord? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. The next day, he had somebody visit me in the middle of Panera Bread. Hey, I just felt like I was supposed to sit down and talk to you. Really? Okay. Where do you go to church, by the way? Guy goes to a church that Lonnie Frisbee helped start. Okay, we might be onto something here. The next day, I get a text message from one of my disciples. Pastor, are you going to preach on Lonnie Frisbee this Sunday? I hadn't told anybody. Most of you never even heard of Lonnie Frisbee. But here we go. Put up a picture. Lonnie Frisbee was born June 6, 1949. No, that is not Jesus. Lonnie Frisbee, born June 6, 1949. Now, he was part of the baby boomer generation. He was part of that generation that was born from people who came back from World War II, the hippie generation. He was born in this generation where people were a bit of freaks. He grew up in a Christian home, but when he was 15, he ran away. And he got onto drugs, and he was in the whole hippie scene. Now, you got to understand America in the time of the baby boomers. Listen, you got to understand America. If you think about the 50s were straight lace. Everybody was real clean cut, kind of square, Christian. Then the baby boomers came along, and they were hippies, and they didn't comb their hair, and they let it grow long, and they were kind of smelly. And they started using drugs, and they had free sex, and they were unclean, and they were ungodly, and they were unchristian. And most people believe that they were too far away from God to be saved. Most of society didn't want them in their churches. They wouldn't even allow them in churches, the hippies. Lonnie Frisbee was of this generation. He was looking for a spirituality that was real. You can take him down. You're causing people to stumble with this right here. He was looking for a spirituality that was real, that was tangible, that he could achieve. And like the rest of his generation, they tried it through drugs. And they used mind-altering drugs, a lot of acid, LSD. They would take PCP. They would go on these long drug binges. They would have these unclean group sexual encounters. And they would go on these trips for days. And they would go out to the desert. And they would go out to the caves. And they were looking for a spiritual high. They were looking for nirvana. They were looking for a real connection with something bigger than what they were. They called themselves the counterculture. They said, we're not going to fit in with this culture. We're going to fit in with the counterculture. We're going against what this world is doing. We're going to do something different. Sound like anybody you know? But they did it through an illegal means. They did it through a spiritually illegal means, spiritual encounters that weren't of Jesus. They did it through a naturally illegal means, doing it through drugs. One day, Lonnie Frisbee was 17. And, you know, he'd read the Bible and whatnot, and he was, you know, he was a druggie. He was living in the Northern Bay Area of California, and he took a bunch of acid. He went out into this is going to be a crazy story. Y'all ready to get offended? If you have any religious spirit in you at all, you're about to get offended. You're going to get offended that God would do this. You ready? You ready to be offended with God? Here's what he did. He went out into the desert, dropped a bunch of acid. And he said, once and for all, God, if you're real, I want you to come and touch me right now. And guess what? God came down from heaven and touched Lonnie Frisbee in that desert. He said it was like a bolt of lightning hit me from the sky. And the Lord Jesus began to talk to him. Jesus said to him, I am going to use you to touch a generation. You are going to touch people that the church cannot touch and is not touching, and the gospel you preach will travel around the world. That's kind of significant, right? And you might say, if I got touched like that, I would live for Jesus forever. Well, I've seen you get touched like that, and you didn't live for Jesus forever. So there was nobody around to disciple Lonnie Frisbee. It's him. I missed a little part of it. He got naked, dropped the acid, went into the desert. So here's this dude tripping on acid, gets touched by God, has got no right doctrine at all, but has met Jesus. You offended yet? Why him, not me? I've earned it, Lord. He hasn't. So God gave him a vision of the harvest, told him that he would have a unique ministry. So he winds up in San Francisco in the Haight-Ashbury district. And those of you who know the baby boomer generation know that was like the epicenter of everything that was going on in that generation. It was like ground zero of the counterculture movement, of the drugs, of the sex, of the free love. And he was right there, and he was at the San Francisco School of the Arts, is where he was enrolled. But he had met Jesus, and so he was out there, he was witnessing, getting people saved. But his doctrine was all goofy. He had thought that Jesus came on a UFO. He didn't know. Nobody had trained him. Right spirit, wrong doctrine. You hear what I'm saying? Right spirit, wrong doctrine. So he meets up with these other hippies, for the first hippies that he met that were actually already Christians. And they were like, dude, you got this messed up. Why don't you live with us? Now, Lonnie Frisbee used to witness to people. One time he went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. This is going to make you. He went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, and Catherine Kuhlman would pray for people, and they would fall on the ground, and they put a cloth on them, you know, like we do here. And we put the cloth on you, and you fall on the ground, so your stuff don't get, you fall, stuff's going everywhere. We put a cloth over you, you could just chill. Everybody's okay, It's a modesty cloth. It's just, so you don't have to worry about your stuff, So he sees this, and he's thinking, Catherine Kuhlman, a mantle in the Bible is a cloak. You know what I'm saying? It's a cloak. And so he thought, Catherine Kuhlman is giving those people her mantle. So he thought, I'll give people my mantle. So he gets these deer skins, right? He got two deer skins and he painted a picture of Jesus on them. And he would wear them. And he would see the Spirit of God land on somebody and he'd put his mantle on them. And they would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's how merciful God is. He will work through our wrong doctrine. I've seen some of you guys in spirit warfare. He will work through wrong doctrine. So he gets up with these other hippies, and there was these communes then. And what they would do is, if they would go out and witness, and if someone got saved, they would say, okay, you're saved, come move in with us. And they would rent a big house, and they would witness, and every person who got saved would move into the house, and they'd disciple them right there in the house. I mean, people from all over the country moved to San Francisco to be part of this scene. So it was all these homeless hippies, all these people with nowhere to live. So they just move into these huge houses and get discipled in the Word. Well, Lonnie Frisbee met up with some of these people, and they said, come on and live with us. And he got discipled in the Word, and he actually got useful after that. Amen. So at the same time, he was praying, Lord, what do I do now? And he really felt like the Spirit of the Lord was leading him to move back to Southern California. Y'all bored yet, or is this an interesting story? Okay, so he moves back to Southern California, kind of hitchhikes there. And all the hippies would hang out at the beach in Southern California. It was like a big, dirty crowd of people who don't have good hygiene and are on drugs. And the Christians were like, those people are so filthy and disgusting. God hates you. I mean, and there's people in our society today that the church says that to. You've cut yourself off from God because of your sin. But I'm not going to go there right now. So Lonnie Frisbee is in Southern California kind of working some things out. And there's a dude who had a small church, He, after 14 years of ministry, he had a church of, 150 people or so, and things weren't going well. And his wife, and he would go down and look at all these hippies on the beach. And one day he said to his wife, Chuck Smith said to his wife, Kay, he said, I believe those people are too far from God to ever be reached. And his wife began to cry out, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. So he said to his daughter and his daughter's boyfriend, hey, can you get one of these hippies? I'd like to meet them and see what is going on in their head. So one day, Chuck Smith's daughter's boyfriend is driving down the street, sees a hippie walking down the street with a Bible under his arm. It's Lonnie Frisbee. Picks him up, brings him to the house. Lonnie Frisbee begins to share the gospel with Chuck Smith. This is what we're doing. This is what's happening. Chuck Smith says, man, You got to come to my church and, come share your testimony. So he came, shared his testimony, and the Spirit of God fell upon that Calvary Chapel. One church, about 150 people. It was on a Sunday night. There was only 30 people there. 15 people came to the altar. He began to pray for them, and the Holy Ghost fell in the room. Soon, people were flocking to come hear this hippie preacher preach. In 6 months, that church went from 200 to 2,000. 6 months. Today, if you look at the Calvary chapels throughout the country, I think we have a graphic here. Any moment. The Calvary chapels throughout the country today are that many. Think it's a forefather? So after a while, Lonnie Frisbee had some issues in his marriage, and he went off, and he was away from Calvary Chapel. And Calvary Chapel began to get uneasy with the move of the Holy Spirit in their churches, like happens with all revival churches. They began to get uneasy with the move of the Holy Ghost. And as a matter of fact, Chuck Smith said to Lonnie Frisbee, if you ever let anybody, if anybody falls down when you pray for them in our church, you're going to be fired. And so people say, Lonnie be praying for people. And they had a whole team of people holding people up. So nobody would fall. And people would just be, and they're holding them up, you know. So they're at this pastor's conference, and this dude named John Wimber met him. And then John said, you know, I don't understand why we don't see the gifts of the Spirit in the church today. And Lonnie's like, I do. I don't know why you don't, but I do. When Chuck Smith got saved, he was in a rock band called the Righteous Brothers. Those of you who were back then have heard of them probably, but he was in a band called the Righteous Brothers. And when he got saved sovereignly by Jesus, he was just reading his Bible, just him and Jesus, and one day the Spirit of God told him, you got to start going to church. And he went to a church, and they preached the gospel and whatever, and he went up at the end of the service, he went to the pastor, and he said, okay, when do we get to do the stuff? Like, what are you talking about stuff? You know, the stuff, when do we do it? And he's like, we just did the stuff. He goes, no, heal the sick and, you know, raise the dead and cleanse the leper. When do we get to do that stuff? When do we get to do the stuff? Because all he knew about Christianity was what he read in the Bible. You got that? He actually read the Bible and believed it. There's a little lack of that in the church today, but that's another thing. So he's like, where do we get to see the stuff? So eventually he gets in the ministry, and he still wants to see the stuff. He still wants to do the stuff, but he's not seeing it in his ministry. Lonnie Frisbee says, hey, I see it in my ministry. So he says, hey, why don't you come one Sunday and come share with the people of my church? So in 1980, on Mother's Day, he goes to preach, and he preached a really rather boring message. You can listen to it today. It wasn't that great. It was on justification by faith. Not a big deal. He said, now I'd like everybody under 12 to come, and I want to pray for you. And he said, Holy Spirit, come. And the anointing of God fell upon the kids. There's video of it even today. They fall to the ground. Nobody in the church had ever seen this before. The kids in mass fall to the ground and start manifesting the Holy Ghost and begin speaking in tongues. He hadn't laid hands on any of them. The fire of God began to multiply. Chuck Smith left Calvary Chapel, and there was a little fellowship called the Vineyard Movement. There were three churches. Today, there are over 1,500 Vineyard churches in the world, 550 in America. From one little church of 200 people to a couple thousand, to three little Vineyard churches to 1,500. That's what happens when God gets a hold of somebody. Now, you say, I haven't heard of Lonnie Frisbee. He doesn't sound that old. Where is he today? Well, the devil came in and began to mess with his life. In 1993, he died at the age of 43. Here's what happened. Lonnie got saved out of a wicked, wicked lifestyle. He was bisexual. And when he got saved, he repented and he preached that it was sinful. But after he got rejected by Calvary, the devil began to mess with his mind. And he fell into sexual sin again later in his life. They kicked him out of the Vineyard. Eventually, the devil came in through that sin. He died of AIDS. Repentant. Repentant. The man was repentant, but he died of AIDS at 43. Unbelievable. At his funeral, they talked about what could have been. And here's the first point I want you to learn from Lonnie Frisbee's life. Number one, deal with the issues of your heart. Hear me. Deal with the issues of your heart. Where are your desires today? What is it that gets your heart racing? What is it that gets you going? What's the thing that keeps you from sleeping at night that you get excited about? What is that? I hope it's godly. Hope it lines up with God's plan for your life. I hope it's based in love. I hope it's not based in lust. Remember our verse in Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting what lies ahead, straining forward to what lies forward. Forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies forward. You see, in his funeral, Chuck Smith says, oh, Lonnie Frisbee was like Samson. He said this, he said, a man who knew the powerful anointing of God's light, what could have been. A man who never experienced the ultimate potential, I often wonder what could have been. Now, you could say Lonnie Smith accomplished more with less than anybody who's walked the earth. I mean, he dropped out of school at 14, ran away at 15, could hardly read, started two denominations and 3,000 churches. I mean, that's fairly significant. Started a revival in South Africa, started a revival in Norway. I mean, the man was awesome. The man, God used him mightily. But what could have been? What could have been? What could have been? Samson was in ministry for about 20 years also. You remember him, Samson, from the Bible? You know, he was in Judges. He did great exploits for God. I mean, he did amazing things for God. But ultimately, he was ruled by his passions. He was ruled by those extra biblical things, those extra revelational things, those other godly things. He had an eye for the women. A little rebellious. So why would we talk about Lonnie Frisbee? Remember our verse in Matthew chapter 10. Whoever receives a prophet in a prophet's name receives a prophet's reward. I want what God did through Lonnie Frisbee. I honor God for what he did through Lonnie Frisbee. You hear what I'm saying? I don't lift him up and say, you know, since God used him, it's okay to sin. I mean, that's just stupid. Who would say, you know, and I'm not going to dismiss Lonnie Frisbee because he sinned later in life. I'm not going to do that. Just like I'm not going to dismiss you because you might fall. I'm going to honor what God did through him. I'm not going to dismiss Moses because he sinned. I'm not going to dismiss Elijah because he came into unbelief. I'm not going to dismiss David because he sinned. I'm not going to dismiss Peter because Paul had to rebuke him for his doctrine. I'm not going to do that. I believe the enemy came in and was able to snuff out the work of Lonnie Frisbee. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that each man's work will be tested by fire in the last days. I'll let God judge what was and what wasn't and who he was. I'll let God judge those things. That's not for me to judge. But I see those things that are godly, and I want them. So what happened to Lonnie Frisbee? Ephesians chapter 6 says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Hear this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Hear this. Now, I don't have time to fully teach this, but I want you to hear this, and I hope the Spirit of God quickens something in you. If you are saved, if you are a blood-born child of God, if you've been washed in that precious blood, if you've been adopted by Jesus Christ, you do not want to sin. Hear me. You don't want to. But you say, but Pastor, I know I'm saved and I do want to. No, you don't. Hear this. If I have died with Christ, if I have died, if I have put to death the works of the flesh, if Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me, which he does, the Bible tells me so. If I have been grafted in, and at the same time, I've been given a new nature, which the Bible tells me happened when I got saved. And at the same moment say, yet my new nature wants to sin? It's like we got some sort of spiritual bipolar action happening here. I want you to hear this. Ephesians 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? Schemes. The plans, the thoughts. That word there is methodia. It's a Greek word, methodia. Don't be ignorant of the devil's thoughts and devices. Pastor, why do I have... Well, if you got a sin issue, if you have sin habits, deal with your sin habits. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, if you like to do certain sins, stop it. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you're sitting in a room and these sin thoughts come to your mind, is it possible that the schemes of the devil are coming into your mind because he's speaking them to you? I'm just going to go there. I'm going there this morning. You're sitting there and nothing, and the most perverse thoughts pop into your head. You're telling me that's you, a blood-bought child of God? That ain't you. That's the schemes of the devil. You need to learn, listen, I'm not at war with myself. Can you hear where I'm coming from? I am not at war with myself. If you're at war with yourself, how are you going to win? Is this making sense? I am not at war with myself. I am at war against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in heavenly places. The devil comes in and says, hey, Carl, wouldn't it be great to cheat on your wife? And I don't think, oh, stop it, Carl. I say, shut up, devil. I'm not punching myself in the mouth for my thoughts. That's stupid. I don't want to cheat on my wife. I don't have any desire at all to do that. The devil does. The devil has schemes for me to repeat what happened when I was lost. The devil would love me to go back to that place. The devil wants me to be scared that things aren't going to work out. The devil wants me to be worried that people are talking. The devil wants me to be, they might leave me. Or, oh, it would be so great to enter into that. Oh, it would be so wonderful if I just went ahead and stole these things. Or it might be great if I just kick him in the mouth, you know. And the devil speaks all these things. But that ain't me. You ever get in an argument and you're like, I wonder if he'd be talking like that if I put a gun in his mouth. You know what I mean? But I know that's not me. I know that's not me. Am I the only one who thinks that from time to time? You'd be mumbling a little bit more right now, wouldn't you? Uh-huh. But I'll let you slide right now. You know what I mean? That's just. But I'm like, that's not me. Is that, the redeemed you doesn't want to do that. And so the devil came to Lonnie Frisbee and said, guess what? You like gay sex. You know what he should have said? Shut up, devil. But in times of strife, in times of weakness, in times of persecution, in times of warfare, we kind of get under that thing, feel a little beat down, drop our guard a little bit. Methodia, cunning art, crafty, tricky, trickery. The devil doesn't just lie, he's a liar. He can't help but lie. Everything he says is a lie. Well, how do I know it's the devil talking? Did it make you feel good? Or did it make you feel worried? The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear. Come on now. I mean, it's all right there in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. He's not tempting you with sin. The Bible says that. He's not bringing sin to you. No. He gives you choices. The devil lies to you and says, make the wrong choice. That ain't God. And it's not you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not you. What the enemy wants is for you to come into agreement with him. He puts two trees in the garden. God says, choose a tree of life. The enemy says, did he really say? Enemy wants you to come into agreement with him so he can have authority in your life. And at some point, if you come into agreement with the enemy long enough, Romans chapter 1 shows us that you're given over to that thing. I choose to come into agreement with Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Is this flying over or are y'all catching this? Is this landing? Is this, y'all getting this? So, Pastor, I'm hearing the enemy and it doesn't seem to be stopping, you know, in just my ear because it's part of my life. That may be where you're at today. You may say, you know, Pastor, every time these thoughts come to my mind, I can't stop them. I mean, it's just part of my life. Well, there's natural ways to deal with this stuff. Submit to authority. There's a good start right there. How do I resist it? Submit to authority. You submit to natural, godly authority, it will teach you to submit to heavenly authority. I want my son and my daughter to hear no from me now so that when they're 16, 17, 18 and someone says, hey, how about we go do this? I want them to be able to hear the no from God and obey. That's why we train up our children. I need you to understand that no is for your own good and you ain't gonna argue with it. So that when God says no, they say, I heard a no, and that's enough for me. Submit to authority. If you didn't grow up in a godly home or you didn't submit to godly authority then, submit to godly authority in the church. Submit to authority. It ain't that complicated. Get aggressive with your sin. Bible says if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. Please don't do that, but some of you may need to throw away your computer. I'm just putting it just like that. But Facebook, bump Facebook. I'd rather go to heaven and get on Facebook. Some of you need to throw away the implements of sin. Some of you need to cut off some friendships. Some of you need to turn off a phone. Some people need to move out of a house that you're living in sin. Live in fellowship with other believers. You say, I don't have a lot of Christian friends. Yes, you got problems. I don't know why I'm sinning all the time. Because you only hang out with sinners. You hang out in Texas long enough, you're going to like country music. People move to this country, never heard hip-hop in their life, and 3 years later, they're rapping. I mean, because that's what happens. Don't even know English, they're rapping. Why? Because this is where you are. Say, I want to be on fire for God, Pastor. I want to pray and see things happen. I want to see miracles. I want to live a life that's consecrated. Get around some people who pray. Get around some people who are consecrated. Show up to prayer on Friday night. Serve in your church. Get submitted to God. Get around some godly people who are going to say, oh, hey, listen, hey, they're having a, you know, ladies' night at the club, and your friends being like, what? Well, how do your friends say right now? Hey, it's ladies' night. What? Or they say, oh. I'm not tempted with ladies' night. I mean, oh, but you're the pastor. Yeah, see? You get that? You see the correlation here? Yeah, hey, what do you know? That's how it works. But I live with a bunch of unbelievers. Stop it. Is that complicated? I want to be playing soccer, Pastor. Well, then get off the football team. Some of y'all need to switch sports. You know what I'm saying? Live in fellowship with other believers. In the basics, you know, tithe. If you're not tithing, you're just being an idiot. You know, serve, read your Bible, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, just, you know, the promises of tithing are just too great to resist. If you're worried about, oh, I don't want to give my $9 away, well, then just live in sin. I don't know what to tell you, you know? Give you my life, but not my $9. You know, keep your $9. You're going to need it, you know? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe Sergio should come finish the message. I don't know. I'm on a roll here. That's number one. Number one. That was all number one. Number two. I only have 9 points. No, I'm joking. Number two. Be resolved about the call.
What does that mean, Pastor?
G-O-O-G-L-E, you know? Be resolved about the call. Make your mind up and let it be made up. That's what that means. I meet so many Christians who have a divine encounter. Well, I meet lost people. Then they have a divine encounter with Jesus. Jesus unfolds the call before them. They see the masses, they see the revival, they see the lost coming to knowledge. They see it. They have an open vision of it. They see it. And it rarely comes to pass. Remember Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Jesus Christ says, this is what lies ahead. Many people never come into it. Why? They take their eyes off the call. Here's what's so awesome about Lonnie Frisbee. Here's what's so awesome about his generation. People would get saved, and then their life was about Jesus. That's it. Their life was about Jesus. People would get visited, and God would say, I've called you to the ministry. And they'd say, I've left my old life. I am now in the ministry. I am going to save souls. How I live is going to reflect my call. Where I live is going to reflect my call. What I do with my life is going to reflect my call. My goals are going to reflect my call. So many people, Pastor, how do I come into the ministry? How do I come into my call? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, what are you doing right now? I don't know. I'm just, you know, I want to make some money. Well, then you're going to make money, but you're probably not going to come into the call. Now, not everybody in here is called to, you know, not be in the workplace. And I mean, but some of you are. Some of you are called to lay down your life for Jesus. Some of you are called to say, you know what? I may never get wealthy on this side of eternity, but I'm going to enter in one day. And there will be a crown waiting for me. And there will be heavenly wealth stored up for me because my riches were not here on earth. They were in heaven. These are the people I want to associate with. These are the people I want to sit around and break bread with. These are the people who say, you know what, Pastor? You remember all these gifts I had? Yeah. I don't care about them anymore. I'm straining forward. I am straining forward to what lies ahead. So I told you I had two visitations yesterday. I woke up in the morning and there was this warfare was going on. I get a certain manifestation when I know there's witchcraft happening against me. And I don't like it. I really don't like it. I don't wish it upon none of y'all. I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. Some people love some warfare. I think y'all need to get delivered. I don't know what's happening. I hate it. I don't want to be a part of it. I just want to tell the devil to shut up and go away and that be the end of it. You know, I lived in Kodiak, Alaska for a while, you know, and people say, did you see any Kodiak bears? I'm like, nah, they stayed out of my neighborhood. I stayed out of their neighborhood. We were chill right there. You know, that's enemy territory. I ain't going out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm clicked up over here. I ain't going through your neighborhood. I'm not trying to encounter the enemy. That is not a goal of mine. If you're into that thing, then you will find the enemy. I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? If you find yourself in a lot of warfare, stop looking for the enemy, look for Jesus. Where he is, the enemy is not. Okay? So I'm in this warfare, and I'm in this, oh my goodness, this awful, 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 this is dirty. It's just dirty. And I'm praying, and I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm worshiping, and I'm studying for my message today. And the Lord begins to show me the correlation. Now, I'm no Lonnie Frisbee. I'm no Chuck Smith. I'm none of these people. I have the same God, though. We're not Calvary Chapel. We're not Vineyard. I don't want to be any of those people. I want to be who God called me to be. Amen? So I'm not lifting myself up. I'm not saying we're the next great whatever. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is God is doing something in this generation. God wants to do something new on the earth. And the enemy does not want it to happen. Just like the devil tried to steal the firstborn in Moses' generation. Tried to kill the firstborn in Jesus' generation. He wants to do the same thing here. Just like he did to Lonnie Frisbee. Anyway, so I'm in this warfare, and I'm just trying to ignore it as much as possible and just worship Jesus, you know. I ignore you, devil. I worship Jesus. You get displaced by the presence of God. That's my warfare route. But every now and then, I got to actively engage. So I'm worshiping God. I hope this isn't boring to anybody. I'll have some great teaching some other week, I'm sure. So I'm not actually sure. That's the bad part. I'm in this prayer, and the Lord begins to show me the witchcraft that came against Lonnie Frisbee. And in the spirit, you know, not in the natural, but in the spirit, I'm beginning to see this witchcraft that came against Lonnie Frisbee. And I'm seeing, you know, it primarily came through gossip and accusation. You know that's witchcraft, right? You know when people speak against you, what God calls you, it's demonic. You know that? You know when you gossip about people, it's demonic? Did you know that? You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know that, right? Power of life and death is in the tongue. You know that, right? And so you're beginning to speak the devil's thoughts over people. Coming into agreement with the devil over other people. Oh, he thinks he's all. Oh, look, he's not doing. Look, you just want to. What you're saying is, Jesus, I wish that he would fail. I wish he would fail. I want him to be humiliated. I hope the devil's plans come to work in his life. You know why? Because people respect him more than they do me. I should be exalted above him. That's what you say when you gossip about people. I should be respected more than that person. And instead of me building myself in the Lord, I tear them down to my level. It's demonic. That's why we got a no gossip rule at the mission. We're not going to be one of them churches of gossips. No, we don't do that. I mean, you feel like you're supposed to be the devil's advocate? Oh, I know he's, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. You're advocating the position of the devil, are you really? We're just not really going to do that here. So this gossip and this slander and this witchcraft that came against him. And I began to, man, I just like, Because 2 days ago, the Lord told me about gossip. I even posted it on my Facebook. I said, wow, you know, just because you gossip about me a lot doesn't mean you know me. You know what I'm saying? People gossip about you so much they think they know you, but so you haven't actually talked to the person. You know, I don't even know you, but you think you know me? What? How is that possible? I'm Carl. What's your name? I mean, I know you're telling people you know me, but I don't believe we've met, you know? Kind of interesting, you know? I didn't see you at the throne of God, you know? Were you at another altar? I don't know. Anyways, so the Lord began to talk to me about this gossip. And what he told me was, and now, you're just going to have to believe me on this one for a second, okay? He told me about the enemy's plans to destroy this generation of revivalists. Sometimes it's a little whisper in your ear. Don't get so radical. Don't be so radical for Jesus. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. What are you doing? Don't go too far. Don't be too much. Don't be too Christian. You got to make some money. And the enemy will work through the people closest in your life. He's not going to have a stranger come to you and tell you and question the call. He's not a stranger. I mean, it could be a family member calls you on the phone. Hey, I just want to let you know, we're just concerned about you. Well, you didn't express this concern when I was living in sin. But now you're concerned. You weren't concerned when I was making music that worshiped the devil, but now you're concerned. You weren't concerned when all my friends were going to the club, but now you're concerned. When I got saved, a psychic visited my mom. Psychic came to my mom and said, be very careful. Your son is involved in a cult. You need to get him out of that church right now. So my mom didn't know Jesus, called me up. Son, you got to be careful. You're whatever. I said, who told you that? Who told you that? Was that an apostle? Was it a prophet? Who was it? Who was it? Well, I went to the psychic. I said, well, give me the psychic's phone number. I picked up the phone. I'm just here to let you know I will cast that thing out of you if you ever call my mom again. You want to keep your job? You will not call my mom again. You know what I'm saying? I ain't playing around with the plans of the devil in my life. I ain't playing. I heard the phone shaking. I said, you feel that? It'll leave. I wasn't playing. He tried to quote some Bible. I said, you shut up. I done read the book. You ain't telling me nothing. I know who I am. Bump that. You gotta be focused on the call. You gotta be resolved that this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. Look at the 12 disciples. You know, here we are, Memorial Day weekend. Praise God. I thank God for those who protected my freedom. Let's look at the 12 disciples. James, the brother of John, killed with a sword during the persecution in AD 44. Andrew, he was hung on an olive tree around AD 70. Doubting Thomas, remember him? He was thrust through with pine spears. He was tortured with red hot plates. Burned alive, 70 AD. Philip went to Phrygia, where he was tortured and crucified at AD 54. Matthew was beheaded sometime after 60. Bartholomew, they cut his skin off of him because he refused to recant Jesus. After they peeled his skin off, they crucified him. James the Lesser was taken to the top of the temple. And they said, if you deny Jesus, we'll let you live. He said, nah, I ain't going to do it. They threw him off the temple. He lived through it. He survived the fall, so the mob beat him to death with stones and clubs in 63. Simon the Zealot, crucified by the governor of Syria in 74. Judas Thaddeus, ministered in Mesopotamia. You know what they did to him? Beat him with sticks until he died. Matthias, he's the guy who replaced Judas Iscariot. He went to Ethiopia to preach the gospel. He was stoned to death while hanging on a cross in 70. And according to Eusebius, the historian around the 3rd century, you know, they say Peter, he thought that he wasn't good enough to die the same way Jesus did. So they crucified him upside down. The only one who lived till his natural death was John, the beloved. But he was sent to a prison island. I mean, here's a prison back then. They go to an island and they kick you off the boat Have a nice life. Work it out. He got out of there and they dipped him in a pot of boiling oil. These men were down for theirs. I hear men turn away from God because the club is going to have a, you know, 2-for-1 drink special. Deny Jesus so they can have sex with someone they always lusted after. I want to partner with some men who say, my life no longer means anything. If you're looking for a church that's got great programs for your kids and we got bowling night and we got a softball league, man, I got a list of churches for you to go to. I want to partner up with some people who say, I want to win this generation to Jesus Christ. I have laid down my life. I don't care if I bowl or not, but I want 50 years from now, I want them to say, I can't write about that generation without adding him. That's who I want to be. That's who I want to partner with. I want people to say, this is what happened in music the last 100 years. Oh, we got to add the mission worship team to that because they done changed the game. That's who I want to be. That's who I want to ride with. I want to ride with people who say, I'm not wasting my money on that. I want to fund this outreach. I'm not wasting my time on that. I want to go witness at the campus. I'm not just looking through the Bible for little promises. I want to start prayer rooms. I want to start prayer furnaces. I want to start revivals. I want to move to this city for the work of the gospel, not just for another job. I want to ride with people who are down for Jesus. I want to ride with people who want to take this nation for Jesus Christ. Can you feel what I'm saying this morning? Am I just talking to myself, or is Jesus Christ calling some people in South Florida to ride for him, to ride for him, to lay down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Pastor, you getting kind of worked up? And I'm saying, yeah, but you ain't. What's up? Luke chapter 9, he says, whoever would save his life will lose it. Oh, Pastor, I don't know about being that radical. Hold on to that stuff. Just hold on to that stuff you think is important. Because one day the fire is going to come. Going to test it all. I want everything gathered in my life to come out like gold. Luke 14. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, and brother and sisters, even his own life cannot be my disciple. What's that mean? That means in your life it's got to be Jesus and then everything else. Doesn't mean leave your mom and dad. That's not, because you can't leave yourself. I mean, the scripture says, and hate your own life. Well, I can't leave me, you know. But I can leave who I was. I can leave every voice that does not line up with what Jesus called me to be. Come to me. Lonnie Frisbee set the world on fire because he gave his life to Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? He gave his life to Jesus. He read the end of the book, the end of the Gospel of Mark. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. When I started this series, I thought that God was going to manifest the same gifts in these people and see the same fruit at the mission that they saw in their meetings. I thought when we talked about Charles Finney, we were going to see great salvations. I thought when we talked about Seymour, we were going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. At the end of service last week, I was like, Lord, what happened? He said, remember at the end of the Charles Finney message, what happened? I said, you anointed people as revivalists. He said, yep. I gave them that same anointing that Finney had. At the end of the Seymour message, we're praying for people to for the baptism. He said, no. I'm raising up new Seymours. So today, I want to begin to worship. Let's begin. And I believe the Spirit of God is going to land on some people. Now, I've heard people pray that they receive, you know, double anointing, what Lonnie Frisbee had. But they don't want to do double the works. I'm not looking for people to just see signs and wonders. I'm looking for people who say, I want to reap the harvest. Give me a little more music. Listen. I'm believing God is going to give some people Jesus. The anointing is beginning to rest right now. I'm telling you, the Lord has shown me that he wants to do again in this generation what he did 40 years ago with the Jesus people. They were this granola generation preaching love, but I'm telling you, there's a generation today who's not looking for Jesus the lamb, they're looking for Jesus the lion. And I tell you, the God of wonders is here. Jesus Christ is looking for revivalists who are down for theirs. Jesus Christ is looking to raise up revivalists who will touch this generation with the power of Jesus Christ, with the authority of Jesus Christ. I've had enough of soft-spoken, limp-wristed preaching. I want some men who know who their Father is, who understand the authority that Jesus Christ has given believers. Not men who are scared in the corner. Not men who are scared of a little Holy Ghost manifestation. Not women who are scared to go out there and preach. Oh, I don't know. I'm just a little girl. Now, I'm talking about some women of God. They say, I've got the Word of God stored up on the inside of me. And it's like fire shut up in my bones. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You hear what I'm saying this morning? I'm looking for some people. I believe the Holy Ghost is looking for some people. We're going to worship for a minute. We may not even have an altar call. I believe the Spirit of God is looking. He is looking. He is coming to and fro throughout the rows, looking for people to anoint this morning.
I never felt so alive. Like I feel when I look into your eyes.
You gotta see him this morning.
And I've been waiting for this moment all of my life. Cause when I'm yours and you're mine, without you it's like the sun don't shine no more. I can't live life no more.
Everything changes this morning, Lord. You gotta let him know everything changes for me this morning. I'm getting radical this morning. I'm getting radical this morning. I'm getting radical this morning.
I can't get by no more. No more. Can't get by no more. Lord, I know if I knock.
I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is knocking on hearts this morning.
Seek out fine. Lord, I know if I knock you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock, you'll answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. I'm not gonna wait, I'm not gonna wait.
I believe he's looking for the violent ones. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. I'm not waiting for the world to come to me. I'm going to the world. I'm taking the fight to the world.
Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek,
I'm taking the fight to the world this morning.
Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. I'm not going to wait.
You might say, what's happening? I'm telling you, revival. It is revival.
I'm not going to wait.
I am not waiting this morning. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is resting upon you right now. The Holy Ghost is resting right now. He's looking for hearts to anoint. Rebe Shanta Katerebe. Rebe King Derabasanterebe. Rebebe K Shantanterebe. Rebebe K Shantanterebe. Rebebe Shamba Kanterebe. Rebebe Shenderaba Kanderede, Rebebe Shendan Dan Dan Dan, Robo Kontan Terebe, Rebebe Shan, he's looking for hearts right now. He's looking, he's looking, he's looking for those who will be obedient to the call, who will walk radically before him, who will not fear what people say about them, but they will wholly give their reputation to Jesus. I can't live without you no more, Jesus. It's not on and off for me. It's all the way, Jesus. It's all the way, Jesus.
Without you, like I can't get by no
more. Sergio, come on up. Stand right here.
Come on.
Right here.
Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. I'm not gonna wait, I'm not gonna wait.
Who's saying that this morning? I'm not waiting anymore. I'm not waiting for Bible college. I'm not waiting for man to lay hands on me. I'm not waiting. I've seen it in the Word, and that's who I'm gonna be.
Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock.
There's a firestorm happening right now. There's a firestorm happening right now, creating its own wind. The flames are being fanned right now. I'm telling you that heaven hears this service. Heaven hears this service.
Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock, you
answer. The Lord is releasing vision right now.
Lord, I know if I
knock. He's speaking to hearts right now. That's not you. That's God showing you the call. That's it right there. He's showing you the call right now. He's showing people the call right now. He's releasing vision. He's releasing call. He's releasing vision right now. Open heavens. Angelic visitations.
Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Lord, I know if I knock, you answer. Lord, I know if I seek, I'll find. Knocking away, knocking away.
I tell you right now, the Holy Ghost is in the room right now. Right now. I'm not going to coax you into it with some chanting. I'm not going to try to produce something in the natural. I'm not trying to talk you into it or hypnotize you into it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is looking for hearts to anoint right now. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right now, Holy Spirit, come right now and consume hearts. Come with your wind right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Touch, touch. Baptize, Lord. Only you can do it. Touch, Jesus. He's even breathing on old calls. He's bringing resurrection life in the old calls right now. I see. You thought it was gone. You thought the time had passed. You thought that you didn't really hear him. Resurrection. Rebe.
He's showing you there's some changes that need to happen. You ready to give it all? He's showing you right now where you're supposed to go and witness. He's showing you the lost people to reach. You're ready to lay it all out for Jesus. Some real 21st century revivalists. Urban revivalists, where are you at? Right now, who is that right now? I want you to raise a hand right now. If you're saying that's me, God is calling me right now. God is touching me right now. But I want you to put one hand in the air. One hand if that's you. Now look around. You see people around you with their hand. I want you to put a hand on their shoulder right now. Put a hand on their shoulder right now. Holy Spirit, everything changes today. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you see the hearts of men. Holy Spirit, you see the hearts of men. I pray that you would release right now your anointing. You would release right now your call. You would release right now, right now, right now, the power of the Holy Ghost. Release, 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 release. Touch Lord right now. Touch Lord right now. Touch Lord right now. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire, the fire, the fire, the fire, the fire, the fire. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor today, I want to thank you for coming to the mission. But we're probably just going to worship for a couple more minutes. So we love you. Be blessed for coming. If you fill out a first-time visitor form, but we're just going to pray a little bit more.
Felt so alive.